All right, if you've been with us the last couple weeks, you know that we've been in this series where we're kind of unpacking and talking about technology, social media, how it's a good thing. It can be very positive, but if we're not careful and we don't manage it correctly, it can get the better of us and kind of become a negative thing. I'll just be honest with you. When I first started out, I thought Facebook was a yearbook. I mean, how many of you, Facebook, that's what you knew? A yearbook from high school. You went and you saw all the faces from your classmates, and that's what you thought of when you first heard the term Facebook, all right? For me, I learned quickly that's not it, and I actually joined Facebook several years ago, and I've intensely enjoyed it, reconnecting with old friends and getting to know people from here and there and everywhere. So it's a good thing. There's a lot of negativity that happens, though. Have you noticed that? It's just there's a lot of stuff that comes across your news feed that's just not uplifting. Then I heard about this thing called Instagram, and I thought it was a metric conversion site. That's what I thought, you know, is just instant grams to pounds or something like that. Found out it's this site where you can share photos. Children's church. All right, if you're here and you've got kids and those kids would like not to have to hear me, they can go that way. Adults, I'm sorry, you have to stay. It's 3 years old, or 4 years old through the third grade. And so we do that so that they can go and have a beneficial time there. But Instagram, then there's all kind of other things. There's Twitter, there's this and that. And again, good, bad, positive, negative. The past couple weeks, what we've been looking at, the first week we talked about comparisons. The more we compare, and that's a tendency to do on social media, with others, we compare our lives with their lives. The more we compare, the more discontented we become. Tends to be the truth, isn't it? Then week number two, we talk about relationships, and we talked about how many of us have substituted thumb to thumb instead of face to face. How we've lost the art of relationship and being friends face to face. Then week three, we talked about authenticity and how we can put an edited version of our life online up there on social media, and how other people only see the us that we are willing to let them see, the cleaned up, edited version. Then last week we talked about compassion, and we talked about how true compassion has to find itself in action. Clicking is clean, compassion is messy, and so we talked about how we need to get out away from liking somebody's post to actually calling them up and interacting with them if they have a need. Instead of just saying, praying for you, actually calling them and praying for them. Or if we see somebody out there that's hurting, we actually take them to lunch or take them to coffee, find out what we can do and how we can be of assistance. And we talked about how what we're trying to create here at Worship at the Water is a messy place of grace, where anybody can come and their love for who they are, but we love them too much to leave them that way, and we want to get involved, and we want to be compassionate, and we want them to experience the risen Christ and know the difference that he can make. And so we've been looking at all that. Now, here's my question for today. How many of you have one of these? All right, let's just be honest. Show of hands. Doesn't even have to be a smartphone. You just got a cell phone that can connect to other people, that has text capability. We're all kind of soaking in that, aren't we? It's the world we live in. It's our reality. Now here's the thing. If you want to go to the next level of honesty, I'll lead. This is the last thing I look at before I go to bed. And it tends to be the first thing I look at before I crawl out of bed. Anybody else want to join me in that honesty boat? All right. We really are. We're kind of tethered to this thing. No matter where we go, no matter where we're at, this is what we're looking to for inspiration, for information, for entertainment. We're going to the phones, and we have this inability to shut down. You know what I found is here lately, I'm having trouble sleeping. And you know why? I might be missing something. There's a new phobia that has emerged that doctors have learned. You know what it is? Nomophobia. It's the fear that you will be disconnected from your mobile phone, your mobile device. You're afraid of being disconnected. This is a real fear. Think about it. You leave the house and you get a mile from your house and you realize you don't have your phone. How many of you turn around and go get it? You know, there was a day and a time where the phone was connected to the wall. And if you wanted to take it with you, tough. It would only go as far as that curly little cord would allow you to go. But now we are tethered constantly. And we're worried and bothered about a lot of things going on. And so if we get bored, what do? We pull it out, we slide it, and we enter into another world. Or the phone dings and we pick it up and we read that text message that just couldn't wait. And we're engaged probably in somebody else's issue, somebody else's problem. Or ba-ding, there comes up that text message that we've been waiting for. And automatically, whether it's the weekend or not, we're back at work and we're engaged in things. And we're having a hard time shutting down because we are constantly distracted with bings, with buzzes, with calls for our attention. It's no wonder that we are a weary society. Our motors are always running. We're probably less productive now than we've ever been because we're constantly being interrupted by the bings, the dings, and the whistles from our phones. And we're overwhelmed, and we don't know why. We're short with our children, and we can't figure out what's going on there. Spiritually, we feel exhausted, and we don't know why. We're longing for more, but we keep going back to social media and we're not finding it there, and we find out it's less and less and less fulfilling. You see, I think everybody in our culture today would say we're looking for rest. Isn't there just a place where we can go and just be quiet and just disconnect from things for a while? But I would go so much further to say it's not just our bodies need rest. But I think our minds, our spirits need rest. We're craving for disconnection from the bing, bing, ding, ding. We need to get away just long enough to find peace and solitude and the presence of God. You see, God has created us to be in an intimate relationship with Him. Rather than being wrapped up with this all the time, He's craving, He's calling out our name, wanting us to get face to face with Him. St. Augustine once said, God, you have made us for yourself, and our soul is restless until it finds rest in you. You see, this captures exactly where some of us are today, isn't it? Our souls are restless, and we're looking for something that will satisfy us, that will bring meaning into our life, that will help our relationships to work, that will fill the void inside of us, that will make us feel significant and purposeful in our lives. You see, we have this Christ-shaped vacuum, this Christ-shaped void in our life that can only be filled by Him. Nothing will ever satisfy until we find our rest in Christ alone. In Matthew 11:28, I think Jesus knew we were going to face this kind of issue with this desperate need for rest, this desperate need for refilling. And so Jesus tells His disciples there in Matthew 11, come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Doesn't that just sound delicious this morning? I don't know about you, but it does for me. I just want to find a place and go to a place and get to a place where I can just be unplugged to everything but God. You see, if you're weary or overwhelmed or burdened, Jesus is calling to you today saying, come to Me by faith and I will give you rest. He says to us, take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And when you come to Me, you will find rest for your souls. How many of you know about the devotional Jesus Calling? Do you know about that? Do you read that? I love what it said this past Tuesday. It talked about rest. And here's what it said. Let my love envelop your outreach to other people. Remember last week we talked about compassion, going the extra mile. We read about the Good Samaritan. So he says there, let my love envelop your outreach to other people. Many of my precious children have fallen to burnout. A better description of their condition may be drain out. Countless interactions with needy people have drained them without their conscious awareness. Take time to rest in the love light of my presence. I will gradually restore to you the energy that you've lost over the years. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and you will find rest for your souls. Compassion has to be fueled by time with the Master. Last week when we looked at the Good Samaritan story, you remember Jesus told that story in a response to someone's question how they might find life. What's the thing they must do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, well, what do you understand it to be? And the man unpacked it, this lawyer, this person of the law, and he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, yes, if you'll do that, you will have life. You will live. And the man wanted to justify himself, and he said, who's my neighbor? And so Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. We looked at it last week. We're not going to unpack it this week. But what's amazing is immediately after that story of compassion for neighbor, Jesus has an interaction with Mary and Martha and Lazarus that I think too oftentimes we disconnect the stories when they're supposed to be read as one unit. Here's what we find that kind of discusses this choice that we face, time with Jesus or time working without him, right here in Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. Let me tell you the story. Let me remind your memory and refresh it to you. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Then tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Or indeed, only one. But Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. In this story, I see three choices that you and I face as it relates to technology or our phones or social media. There's constantly going to be this clarion call, come, come, spend time with me. Or we can hear the Lord saying, come and spend time with me. Here's just real quick. We have the choice, it seems to me, in this story to either be blessed, we have the choice to be blessed, but that's not my first point, okay? The first point is this. Am I going to be stressed or am I going to get still? It's a choice, isn't it? Mary sat down at Jesus' feet and decided she was going to be still with the Lord. What was Martha's choice? To stress out over everything that needed to be done, everything that needed to be accomplished. One was freaking out over supper. The other was there at Jesus' feet, feeding on his every word. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15 says this, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. I think we ought to take that time to get still with Jesus. How about you? Psalm 37, verse 7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. It's calling us to the quiet place at the Master's feet. Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. We have need to go to the still places. When I was out in Colorado at this retreat for people that were experiencing burnout, one of the retreat leaders was talking about how the trout that were in the streams out there, He tried to be a fly fisherman, and he would always go to the places where the pools were quiet, and he was getting skunked. Every time he'd go out, he'd go to the places where the water was still. And somebody finally had to tell him, listen, the fish, when they go to the still or the quiet places, they don't feed. They're still. If you want to catch a fish, you got to get them in the midst of the rapid water. We're just like that too. If we're wanting rest, we've got to go to the still places. And those still places are found in the Lord. Psalm 62 verse 1 says, truly my soul finds rest in God. Or another version says this, my soul is silent unto God. You see, we have the choice today. Am I going to be stressed out? Am I going to look at life and the situations that I've got going? Or am I going to go over there and sit at Jesus' feet and be stilled and focus on the Master? Here's the thing. Are you focusing on your mountain and the issues that you've got in life? Are you focusing on yourself and your stressors? Or are you looking at the Savior and spending time hearing what He has to say about you and over you? Who was the one that Jesus commended? Mary. Martha, you're worried and you're bothered. You're stressed out over a lot of stuff. But Mary has chosen the better part. Hear that. Jesus is saying to us, choose the better part to sit at my feet because it will not be taken away from you. So we have a choice. Be stressed or get still before the Lord. The second thing that I see in this story today is the difference between work and worship. Work and worship. One was distracted by the to-do list. All she could see, all that she knew, everything that was in her vision was what needed to be done. She was distracted, is what the Bible said. You are worried and bothered. You are distracted by many things. So many times we look at that and we say, I'm a workaholic. And we say that with great pride, don't we? I get a lot done every day. Every day I check a lot of stuff off my list. And yet we come home and we are exhausted and we have nothing to offer anybody else. We're working and we're distracted and we're a bundle of frenetic energy instead of being focused on what's most important and letting everything else play out after that. You see, the most important thing is the most important thing, and Jesus will always be the most important thing. You see, the main thing is to keep the main thing. Jesus is the main thing. You see, when I'm focused on work, I don't know about you, but a lot of times my thoughts go to quitting time. When will we be done with this job? When can we say it's over, it's finished? When can I walk away from it? But when we're focused on Jesus, we get focused on quiet time, and it's not about when can I get away, it's how much longer can I stay. You see, there's this sweetness that comes with being in the presence of Christ and let Him speaking wonderful words of life over to us so that it can inform the work that we do later. This is not a difference of if we work or if we worship. It's what's going to come first. God has created us for work. He created Adam and Eve, and where did He put them? In a garden to tend it. We are made to be workers, but we are made for worship first. We are made to interact and connect with God, and then out of that comes the flow and the energy for work. Psalm 95 verse 6 tells us, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Another place in Psalms, it talks to us about worshiping the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus is battling the devil, and the devil keeps trying to get Jesus to do things that go against God. And Jesus rebuts him time and time again, saying, it is written. And one of those times He says, it is written that you will worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. You know what the problem is in our culture? We've got things all mixed up. God says, I want you to work. God says, I want you to worship. God even wants us to have a time of play. He wants us to be recreational and people of rest. But here in our culture, what we've begun to do is worship our work, work at our play, and we play at our worship. Don't you find that to be the case? Where we worship our work and we give everything to what that job requires, and we go over and beyond to try to do the work. And then we really work at playtime. We'll kill ourselves to have a good time. But then we get to worship and we just piddle and play around, don't we? Oh God, help us to understand we need to worship first. And that out of the overflow of it, it informs our work, and then we can truly enjoy our rest. Y'all familiar with these items right here? All right. A power drill and a battery pack and then the recharger. All right. Let's think about it this way. This is work. Okay. We like work, don't we? We know what's expected, and we go at it 24/7, always working, always doing, always giving, knocking that to-do list out, don't we? I mean, that's us. We just go and 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 work and sweat and toil, and at the end of the day, we're exhausted. And then the phone dings. And we work and we work and we fret and we're distracted and we're worried, and then we wake up in the morning, we look at the phone, and oh man, not again. All right, I got to hurry up. I've got to get to the office because there's more things going on, right? This is us, isn't it? We are the worker bees. What Jesus says, listen, you have got to take time to unplug. You're going to burn your engine out. You're going to burn this thing up. You are going to deplete yourself. And so there needs to be that daily time where you say, fill me, Lord Jesus. Let's just pretend this is plugged in, okay? I know some of you are already like, it's not plugged in. It's not going to charge. All right, let's just pretend that this is already plugged in. All we need to do is plug in. This is worship. This is where we get still before the Lord. What is happening when this is plugged in? This is getting powered up. This is getting charged so that when I leave that quiet time and I go to work, I got the energy to run. I've got the inspiration to follow Christ into my workplace and to make a difference. And my work is focused and everything is good. And you're looking at it and saying, where's the drill bit, Steve? I didn't want to hurt myself, okay? It's bad enough I've got power tools, all right? It's bad enough there. But do you get it? Work is important. But if you don't take time to worship and get charged up, your work is useless. Jesus said, if he doesn't build the house, those who labor, labor in vain. We want to make sure that we are on the page with God and he is filling us so that we can go and work for him. It's my estimation that you're not going to be able to work for the Lord until you spend time with the Lord. Amen. See, it's the difference in lumberjacks who take their axes and run out to chop wood, to chop trees, and the ones that hang back. Folks are like, wow, they're just a bunch of lazy guys. We're out here chopping away at the wood, and yet those who hung back were able to chop more wood during the course of the day because they took time, and they weren't being lazy back there. They were actually sharpening the axe. When you and I spend time worshiping God, he's sharpening us so that when we go to work, we're more effective in whatever we do. And then the last thing that I see in this story, yeah, there's this place of choosing between stressed or getting still with God, this place of deciding, am I going to go straight to work or am I going to spend some time getting my batteries recharged in worship? And then lastly, what I see between Mary and Martha is this one who is inclined to do something and one who is intentional about doing something. You know what's amazing about this whole Mary Martha story to me? She's the one that invited Jesus in the first place. Mary invited Jesus into their home. Her inclination was to spend time with Jesus. That's a good thing. But her intentions never found reality. Mary, however, was intentional. She made a plan and she stuck with the plan. You see, Martha never got around to enjoying Jesus. She just endured him. I'll get to him sooner or later. I'll get along to that, but first I got all these things I got to do. She was inclined to spend time with Jesus, but she was not intentional about it. What do they say about the road to hell? It's paved with good intentions. One day I'm going to start and I'm going to develop a quiet time. One of these days I'm going to do what I know I ought to do, and I'm going to get with my Bible and I'm going to get with God and I'm going to pray every day and I'm going to. Intentions versus intentionality that says, tomorrow morning at 6:30 I'm going to get up and I'm going to get my Bible and my coffee and I'm going to walk outside and I'm going to plug into God in worship in that quiet time. I'm not just going to be inclined to do it. I'm going to be intentional in seeing that it's done. You see, intentional living provides us with a roadmap and a game plan of getting from here to there. What do I need to do? Mary said, you know what? If I'm going to be any good in this life, I need to spend some quality time at the feet of Jesus. And then when I go from there, I can go anywhere and I can do anything. Intentional living. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. It was part of his routine. It was part of his makeup. He was intentional about spending time with the Heavenly Father. It didn't happen by accident. He didn't catch his catch can. He was intentional. Free moment, I'm going to the Father. Have some time to rest. I'm going to get away and I'm going to unplug and I'm going to connect with God. The Bible, it's interesting, if you look in the Gospels, where it talks about Jesus and this little phrase, as was his custom. You know what his custom was? Going to the synagogue. Going away to pray. Going to the Mount of Olives. You see, Jesus was intentional in the harried, crazy, distracted world that we live in to draw back, to get away, to connect with God. If we're not careful, this will drag us away from God. And I'm speaking and I'm preaching to myself. What did I tell you long ago? I'm not going to preach at you. I'm going to learn with you. And this is where God is really convicting my heart, that I spend way too much time here and far too little time there with him. So what are we going to do about it? We've been talking for all of these weeks, talking about getting away from social media and our dependence on it, backing away from technology, using it for when it's good, but then backing away and giving ourselves some time for perspective and priorities. I want to invite you this week to a little challenge. Would you entertain that? Okay? A little challenge to disengage from technology and the craziness of life, the stress that we have upon us, to spend some quality time with Jesus uninterrupted. Here's what I'd like for us to do. I would like for us to take 5 minutes a day where we set this down and we walk away. Far enough away that we don't hear it. Maybe it's just turning it off. I don't know what it's going to be for you. Maybe it's leaving it in the bedroom and going out into the kitchen or going outside and just being 5 minutes away from technology, from the distractions and the worries of the world, to go just get quiet with Jesus. Would you do that? 5 minutes. Listen, we'll even make it more easier for you. 5 minutes for 5 days. Just try it out for 5 days and see if it doesn't make a world of difference. If you need a reminder, you know what we can do? Technology can be used in a good way too, okay? If you will text 40650 to unplug for five, we will send you daily reminders to bug you. kidding. Just a daily reminder to take time for God. Take five for God. And what we're hoping people will do is take 5 minutes to just unplug and spend time with Him. Now, here's the other thing we would like, is if you will do this, if you will take a picture, if you're outside, take a picture of the place that you're going to unplug for five and hashtag that. Unplug for five. Hashtag Woodlawn PCB. And let's just see how many of us are doing this challenge together. Because you know, if you hit the hashtag on Facebook, it'll take you there and you can see everything that everybody is saying or posting or picturing. You can see it in a group. So unplug, all run together. Unplug, F-O-R, the preposition, the number five. I think it's in your bulletins. I don't know if we were able to get it in there, but unplug for five, okay? So would you do that? Would you join me in that? I've already put one unplug for five. I put a scripture up there this morning as I took a little time to get away from this, to focus and to get ready for our time together. I think it's going to be a neat little action, a little activity that we can do to remind us to walk away from this. Take your picture, upload it, walk away from it, okay? It's a way for us to hold each other accountable. So take out your cell phone, all right? Here's what I want you to do. Take out your cell phone, and I want you to text to this number to get this notification every morning to help you remember what we're doing together. And there's going to be information requests and stuff like that. Ignore that. We don't want your information. We just want to provide you inspiration and a reminder. 40650. If you'll text unplug 45 to that number, you'll receive a daily reminder to go ahead and unplug. And I hope you'll do that with me, because I'm looking forward to that 5 minutes. Not saying 15, not saying 20 for the rest of your life. Small steps. We want you to promise big or promise little and win big rather than promise big and lose, okay? So that's what we're trying to do, something manageable, something easy where we can gain a victory. Would you pray with me? In quiet and in confidence will be our strength. Lord, you said, be still and know that you are God. So as we hear the birds and the surf, a distant airplane, the wind, God, I pray that you would fill us with your divine quiet, that you would empower us and charge us for the work that lies ahead today and throughout this next week. Thank you, God, that there is a place of quiet rest and it's near to your heart. So today I pray for your people. I ask that you would give them what their soul longs for, that you allow them to disconnect from technology, disconnect from the pressures of the world so that we can connect with you and get what we need. Lord, we love you today and thank you that your word even speaks and applies to our crazy technology-filled world of today. Lord, help us to act on your word, to live for you, and to make a difference for eternity. Lord, help us to be involved in this messy place of grace, and we can only do it with your strength and your power. We pray this in your name, and all God's people said, amen.